Okay, are we on?
Yeah.
Good, good to go, good to go. Thank you. Fantastic. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. This is I'm from Uganda, by the way. So Uganda is my native country, but I call myself English. In fact, I call myself Ugandan English. So it's the other way around. Is English Ugandan. There you go. I'm an English Ugandan. Forgetting the fact that we were colonized by the English, so don't talk about that colonization, okay? Don't mention that. But I've been here in the UK for almost coming to 20 years that I moved here. In fact, someone was asking me, how old were you when you moved here? And he just daunted me that I was 21 when I moved to the UK. And sometimes that is, for some young people, 21, you don't just leave home at 21, do you? It's like, that's the time you're just getting used to living with mom and dad. You're just starting to get used to that. No, but 21, you know, I believe the Lord called me to move to the UK. And, you know, the testimony is so long, we don't have time to share about that this morning. But I can just say, you know, God, when God has a plan for you, He will fulfill that plan.
Amen.
He will make that plan come to pass, regardless of what comes in between. Because Satan will bring obstacles, he'll bring walls and mountains before you get to your destiny. But if God has destined it for you, it will happen regardless of what comes your way.
Amen.
It is so easy for Satan to try to divert our minds or take our eyes off our destiny. Because he knows for certain that when you get there, there is going to be bigger destruction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, can I just say, God just doesn't want to take you to your destiny. He wants to take you there so you can cause destruction to the devil's kingdom. To Satan's kingdom. So when you get there, it's not just a matter of getting there. There is going to be destruction when you get there.
Amen.
Amen. And so Satan will try every possible means to stop you from getting there.
Amen.
And you know, you need to be a warrior and say, no, you're not going to stop me from getting there. Okay?
Amen.
You stand up like a warrior and say, I'm going to get to my destiny. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I'm not here to teach you about, to preach you about destiny. I'm here to tell you about what God has called me to tell you this morning. But, you know, because He's a good God, and He's calling us to a prayer life.
Amen.
A life of prayer.
Amen.
You know, prayer is not just a thing you have to do because your pastor wants you to do it. Prayer needs to become your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Needs to become my lifestyle. I don't do it because I have to tick boxes. Christianity is not about ticking boxes, by the way. If you think Christianity is about ticking boxes, then you need to go back and revisit the first day that you gave your life to the Lord. Because it is about relationship more than ticking boxes. If you're in a relationship which is all about, oh, I've got to tick, oh yeah, she's beautiful, she's got good legs, she loves me. That is just about ticking boxes of what you are looking in her or in him. But relationship with Jesus is more about, it's not about ticking boxes. You know, when I fell in love with Jesus, ticking boxes didn't matter. In fact, I was ashamed of what I was doing to the church before I became a Christian. What I was, you know, the words that I, the languages that I was using against born-again Christians. I grew up as a Catholic, by the way, so you can put it, you can just put that in the bracket. For me, you know, Christians shouting and dancing was not my sort of thing. Was definitely not my cup of tea. So I was throwing insults and words against these happy, clappy Christians. Little did I know that very soon I would be that happy, clappy person as well. Comes back round like that, doesn't it? When God has a plan for you, He will capture you. He will get you wherever you go.
Amen. Amen.
Wherever you run, He will find you. And He found me.
Amen.
By the way, can I just say, He found me at a point where it was exactly the right time.
Amen.
It was exactly the right time. Had He waited for a little longer, I probably would not be standing right in front of you today. He picked me at the right time. I was almost going to this side, the east side, where the gang life was taking over. The gang life was really dragging me, was pulling me over, really, really pulling me over. But Jesus had another plan.
Amen. Amen.
He had a better plan. His plan I don't regret at all. I have no regret. In fact, I can stand here and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me.
Amen.
Thank you for rescuing me, because it was a rescue. That was a rescue mission.
Amen.
But it came at the right time. A few years after that, 2 years after that, I lost my mom just after I gave my life to the Lord. This is why I say it was the right time. Had he not got me, or had I not given my life to him, I wouldn't be here. She was my backbone. She was everything that I've ever known. But Jesus caught me at the right time. And when she went, you know what? I stood still, holding on to nobody else other than Jesus. I became a support to my own brothers and sisters. They looked up to me, and I was looking after Jesus. They looked at me, I looked at Jesus. They came to me, I ran to Jesus. You know, God's timing is so perfect, absolutely perfect, that sometimes it just amazes me. Don't look back and begin to think, where were you when this happened? It is so easy for us to say that, where were you when these things happened? Because he's got his timing completely different from our timing.
Amen.
From your timing. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My Jesus, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reign, unending love, amazing grace. That word, amazing grace, is right in the middle in my kitchen wall, in one of the walls in my kitchen. And sometimes visitors come to my kitchen, and it just draws their attention. And I'm sure they sing it within them. They sing it. They don't want to make it audible so that I can hear it, but I can tell inside their heart they're singing it inside them. It's just irresistible. Amazing grace. The grace of God is irresistible.
Amen.
You cannot run away from it. That's sorry. I'm getting carried away. That's the good thing being a pastor. It's so easy to get carried away when you stand to begin to minister, when you begin to share the word of God. It's just because God has done so much for us that sometimes it's so easy to just move somewhere else. I want to tell you about something that I believe it is a mandate that God has put upon my heart. And I'm talking about to you about kingdom prayer lifestyle. Something, and by the way, I bring greetings from Ely City Church. God has called us a few years ago, my wife and I, now my ex, God called us from Devon to move to Ely, and God began to do amazing things in our lives, you know, and we took over a church. It was been functioning for over 20 years, and God just said, you know what, thank you for being here, thank you for coming. We want to change everything. We want to start this church from scratch. And we had to just kind of dismantle everything that had been there and start the church from scratch. So Ely City Church was born 2 years ago from today. Actually, 3 years ago today, Ely City Church was born as a result of what used to be called the Olive Tree Fellowship, okay, and Ely City Church. So I bring greetings from Ely City Church. My pastors, my leaders, you know, I'm the senior leaders, and I've got other sort of ministers that we work together with. And God is doing great things. It's an honor to be with Pastor Vince and Lisa here. He's a great guy, really good man of God. And I'm looking forward to, you know, really get to know them better, get to know you and work a lot with you. You're so privileged to have this guy in here, really. Absolutely privileged. It's a privilege to work with you. It's an honor to be here. Kingdom life, kingdom connection, kingdom prayer, kingdom relationship. You know, now there is a shift. There is a wave of the Holy Spirit where everything you're hearing nowadays is about kingdom. Okay? Because I think the church has been functioning what we call earth to heaven. But the shift is now changing. Minds are being opened. Languages are beginning to change. It's like there is a renewal of the mind. And it's no longer about earth to heaven. It's now changing, say, heaven to earth.
Amen.
Once we get to that mindset that the source of everything comes from heaven.
Amen.
When we get to that mindset, you know, it changes everything. When things are from heaven, you don't have to toil. You don't have to labor. You don't have to sweat. You know, there's no more sweating because you know where the source of everything comes from. You know, as Christians, we've always been in this mindset where we are toiling, we are laboring, we are striving for something. In the kingdom of God, there is no striving, amen? Because there is abundant. There is abundant. I want to talk about praying with authority. I want to talk about prayer becoming our identity. I want to talk about prayer in your intimacy time. You know, prayer creates intimacy with God. Thank you, Jesus. Every believer has constant access to the manifest presence of God. Every believer, not just pastors, not just church leaders, not just elders, not just anybody, but I tell you, friends, all of us have access, not just one access, not just a limited access, it is constant access. Not that yesterday I had access yesterday. No, no, no. Stop living on yesterday's manna. Live on today's manna. Provision for yesterday was for yesterday. By the way, only lasted for 24 hours and you had to go and pick up more. So live on today's provision. Access to God is available to all of us. Available to anybody. I keep challenging my congregation. Please don't depend on me. Depend on Jesus. The Western world, I'm not condoning anything. But there is this thing about, you know, people are so, oh, I have to go to ask the pastor to pray for this, pray for that, pray for the. No, no, no. Brothers, sisters, no, 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 no. You too can just go. Go to him. Go straight to him. You don't have to go to somebody else to get access to him. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's already made that access. He is the access. Just go straight to him. You know, if you come to me, I'll say, okay, now let's pray together. You start and then I'll say amen to it. That's true. You start praying and I'll say amen to it. I'll just agree to what you're saying. So that means actually you're doing the praying, less I'm doing less of the listening. And I'm just agreeing to what the Spirit is saying. Because we all have access to Father God. Constant access. Only in that place of communion with Him do we come to know Him and consequently gain the revelation of our identity and purpose. You know, prayer creates intimacy. Prayer creates a communion. Do you know what communion is? We've just had it this morning. Communion is common union. That just blows my mind, okay? Communion is common union with God, common union with the Holy Spirit, common union with Jesus, common union with every character of God that you can think about. Just think about it. Common union with His grace, common union with His mercy, common union with His love, common union with everything. That's what communion is. You and I are in common union with every aspects of God. Every characters of God that you can think of, you are common union. You are in common union. I'm in common union with that. So I can just sit here and just enjoy that common union with God. I can just stand and just drink it in. Common union. And that's what prayer does. Links us, joins us, unites us, brings us together. Intimacy. There is something about intimacy that, you know, that's for another day. But God is yearning. There is a yearning in God to have intimacy with his children. You probably heard about it. You say, well, don't tell us again. But I want to tell you again because you might have forgotten. But God wants to have intimacy with each one of us. And prayer is one of those ways that brings us in that intimacy with God. By the way, I don't just want to talk about intimacy. I don't just want to talk about my passion about prayer. I want to be practically praying. Practically involved in praying. Don't tell me, someone says, don't tell me about how you pray. Show me how you pray. It's so easy to say, well, go and pray. Do as I do, don't do as I say. don't tell me about how you pray. Show me how you pray. Let's see what God says. All fruitfulness in our lives flows from the presence or from the place of intimacy. Okay, we're going to come to that in a minute, don't worry. Okay, but I want to talk about a few things this morning. What prayer, what kingdom prayer is like. What kingdom prayer can bring to our lives. What kingdom prayer causes us to be, makes us to be, transforms us to be, makes me excited every morning. Ely City Church, God called us. When we started over, God said, we're going to become a center of prayer in Ely. And I said, God, how are we going to do that? And he said, well, start little. Just start little by little. And I said, okay, what little? We said, just start meeting in your place regularly. And just open the door to the community. Invite people to come in to pray. And then we started off just, you know, Tuesday morning. We just opened the door. We said, anyone is welcome to pray. And then God said, okay, now time to go up a little bit. Start a half night of prayer once a month, half a night. So, you know, we do a concert, 4 hours of just being in the presence of God. And God just said, from 8 o'clock till midnight, we're just in the presence of God. And we are seeing amazing things happen. We are seeing the goodness of God. We are seeing miracles start to happen. And by the way, can I tell you this? That sometimes, even when we're doing all these things, it doesn't mean that we're the greatest of the churches around. Amen. We're not. But God is doing something with the weak. Amen?
Amen.
He's transforming people's lives by the weak. So, you know, so God called us into prayer. And, you know, that's part of our mission. It's becoming a center of prayer in Ely. And you know, and we invite people to stand with us in prayer because we're not just called to Ely, we're called to nations. Church is not just about where you live here. Church is about the wider community. I'm so blessed hearing what God is doing here, Abundant Life, and you go missions in Africa, and, you know, Kenya. You've just come back from Kenya, and a number of people going to Malawi. I saw something Malawi and things. That's great stuff. Great mission, and we will be praying with you guys that as you reach out to all these other nations, that Father God will bless you. So let's just move on to what God is saying. So I want to talk, number one, let's get onto that screen, okay? I want to talk about what prayer, kingdom prayer lifestyle does to each one of us. Okay, let's go. Number one, so prayer builds you into God's house. Builds me into God's house. Is that working? Prayer builds each one of us into God's house. When we pray in tongues, how many people believe in praying in tongues here? Amen. I'm a strong believer in praying in tongues. I'm going to tell you why I believe in that. Why I think it is essential. My IT guys are sorting this out. Amen. We got it going. So prayer, when we pray in tongues, we are using our voice to give utterance to the expression of our spirit as they commune with the Holy Spirit. When we, you know, your voice, you're creating this expression. You're bringing your spirit, your soul, everything that is within you. I tend to, when I stand to pray, I tend to say, Lord, I command my spirit and my soul to come into understanding, into agreement, so that the two things are working together. not working against each other or kind of distracting, because it's so easy to get your soul distracting you from what your spirit is saying. Yeah? And your soul is saying, oh, but I'm weak. I want to have another, you know, give me one more hour in bed, please. And your spirit says, no, get up, Billy. It's time to pray. Huh? Get up, Billy. It's time to pray. It's, you know, and so you need to ask, look, let your soul and your spirit be in agreement. So the two can then stand up together and pray. So when the two unite, there is victory. In Jude chapter 1, verses 20 to 20, I think that says 21. It should be 21. And it says that, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and wait. And it says, and wait. And wait the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. You know, pray in tongues, we're going to look. But it is about building one another. Okay? But it starts with me. When I'm praying in tongues, it starts with me. I am expressing my, whatever it is, whether gratitude, whether I'm expressing that with God. So it says when, you know, by praying in the Spirit, which means in tongue, I edify. We edify ourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verses 4. When I'm praying in tongues, I edify myself. And then it says, by praying in the Spirit, we are praying the will of God. Think about it. You are praying the will of God. When I'm praying in tongues, in Romans chapter 8, 26 to 27, you are praying the will of God. I'm praying the will of God. And I want to encourage you, if you're here, you just have a desire or a passion to pray in tongues. It is for you. The gift of tongues is for you, is for me, is for everybody else. Because when you burst out in praying in tongues, you're speaking. It's basically what God is putting in your heart. And it flows out of you. Somebody may not hear it. Somebody may not understand what you're saying. But God hears what you're saying. He hears what you're saying. By praying in the Spirit, we discover the way and the spontaneous movement of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly you are attentive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. You pay attention to what the Spirit of God is saying. Praying in the Spirit. I like it. I don't know when you've ever went into a prayer meeting. When somebody is praying in the Spirit, their prayer is always different. Their prayer is, you can notice that their prayer is different because they are taken over by the Spirit of God. When your mind is transcended above your physical being, you're taken over by the Spirit of God. And suddenly, your prayer, it becomes so powerful that everybody around you feels it. I don't know, you've ever stood next to somebody praying and goosebumps begins to come up on your hands. Because what they're praying is actually agreeing with your spirit. That is my brothers and sisters praying in the Spirit. When you begin to pray, it's like the walls begin to shake. You don't have to be Samson to shake the walls. Sometimes you just need to pray the way God is calling you to pray. And the walls begins to shake. People can feel it. When we begin to pray in the Spirit, that's what happens. Shandara babashikara. And you see walls begin to shake. Pray in the Spirit, brothers. Pray in the Spirit, sisters. And he said, by praying in the Spirit, we are praying prayers that carry the same weight as a prophetic word. Have you ever experienced that? You're in a group of people and you're praying. And actually, you know, what they're praying is prophetic. And that's what praying in the Spirit sometimes does. You're speaking things that is prophetic. This morning, while I was meditating, while I was praying, I was seeking God. And I said, God, give me a word for somebody. And God gave me a word for, I believe it is from somebody here. And God said, He will not let challenges come your way that you cannot handle. And I believe that is for somebody. God will not let you go through things that you cannot handle. It does. It's regardless of what it is. He will not let you go through it unless he knows that you can handle it. Honestly, I'll stop there. I'll just leave. It doesn't matter how big, how wide, how massive the problem is. You will go through it and you're going to come out of it victorious in Jesus' name. You will. I've seen that. I've experienced it. I got the t-shirt. If you want it, I can give you the t-shirt. It might not fit you. I got a bit of broad shoulders, by the way. It's not as big as Pastor Vince, but you know what? It's good enough. It's good enough for me. By praying in the Spirit, our minds become increasingly renewed to how God thinks about the different situation we're in. Now, when you're praying in the Spirit, your mind is renewed. My mind is renewed. I don't know. It's like something becomes, your mind is just above everything else. Suddenly, you're seeing things from a spiritual point of view. I'm seeing things from a godly point of view. Not from my point of view, because my point of view might be good, but it's not as good as God's point of view. Renewal of my mind. I see God in a different way. So when we pray, you know, God is building his church. God wants to build his church. God wants to build you. God wants to build us. God wants to build all of us. We're a temple of the Lord. Amen. We are. And so just think about it. He wants to build you. And prayer is one of those ways that God wants to build you, me, and everybody else here. We cannot underestimate the power in the spoken word. We cannot underestimate that. When we speak things, prophetically comes to life. When I speak healing upon anybody, it will happen in Jesus' name. Believe it or not, it does happen in Jesus' name. Not by might, not by my power, but by the help of the Holy Spirit. And I say, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mystery. You know, it might be jargon to you, but God understands what you're saying. Amen? Let's move on. So, prayer agrees with God and activates faith. Amen? You want your faith activated. Let's go to the next, please, my brother. You know, prayer agrees with God. When we're in with God, our prayer is yes and amen. The answers of God are yes and amen. Is that right? That's still not working. Prayer agrees with God and activates faith. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I am saying. Well then, what shall I do? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words. I understand. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing in words. I understand. When we move into praying with understanding, as well as praying with the Spirit, as Paul instructed us, we further increase the level of our agreement with God. Prayer extends us. It extends our understanding of who God is. You know, I was talking about intimacy earlier. Prayer creates that intimacy. Suddenly, this union, common union, becomes bigger. You feel the heartbeat of God. God feels your heartbeat as well. That's what prayer does. And Jesus, you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me so. Jesus never did anything unless the Father instructed him. And that's what prayer does. Prayer is we're listening to God and getting instructions from God. Father, what do you want me to do today? Father, where are you taking me today? Intimacy. Union, prayer generates that. I want to encourage you to create this lifestyle, kingdom, lifestyle of prayer. And God is going to transform you. God is going to change you. He's going to, you know, are you looking for faith? Go into prayer. And by the way, it starts little. It starts little. Just say, Lord, I want to just begin to pray for something that may seem small to you. And say, by faith, I speak life into that. It might seem dead, but just speak life to it. It will happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in Uganda, one day we were, when I became a Christian, you know, after God got me, when he called me from Catholicism, then moved me to born again Christian. I started off going to a Baptist church. You know what? I'm so grateful for the Baptists. I really am. They became my first training ground. They trained me up. They made me into the person I am today. And I'm very grateful for the lessons I got, the learning, the teaching that I got from Baptist Church. One day we were praying right deep into the night. A mad guy, really crazy guy, walks from the street because he was hearing this noise going on in the house of God. So this crazy guy, he was really crazy. I mean really crazy. You know, he came in. As soon as he walked through the door, the smell, he hadn't had a bath, you know, you can tell. As soon as he stepped through that door, the entire room, the entire house was just with this very intoxicating smell, to the point that it chokes you when you get anywhere closer to him. But this is the amazing thing. God told her, you know what, you're going to bring that man, you're going to put him up the front here, and you're going to pray for him. Instead of sending him out and say, here you go. Now God said, bring him. All you prayer warriors around here, I want you to gather around this crazy guy. And so we gathered. We brought this man. Well, God already brought him here, so why should we send? God had a plan why he came, so why should we send him away? So we gathered around him, and we started praying. 30 minutes gone, we're still praying. An hour gone, we're still praying. An hour and a half, healing started to manifest in this guy. We can see some evidence of humanity start to come out of him. He was starting to speak sentences that we could understand. Then we pressed him in praying again, and we prayed and prayed. 2 hours gone, God did a miracle. Here, a crazy guy came in with his rags, smell, was completely healed. And it was in the middle of the night. Just think about it, in the middle of the night. And we say, okay, so God has healed this guy. We're not going to just send him away in his rags, are we? So we said, all right, all those who live closer to the church, go to your homes, bring water, bring any clothes you have. We're going to get this guy washed, and we're going to get him dressed. When God heals you, he doesn't heal you partially, not halfway. He heals you completely. Amen? Amen. Just imagine if we had sent him on his way just in his rags. Where was he going to get? You know, he needed to get the full healing, including getting other supplies as well. Clothes, shoes, and food. And we said, Lord, if you live close by, we want you to come back. I mean, we didn't see him again, but we know that to this day, that guy was healed. He walked out of that place, you know, singing praises to God. And that's what, now just imagine, now that is a big, to some people, that is, and you cannot comprehend it. But here, God did a miracle. This guy walked free. I need to start little. You need to start little. Just speak into something by faith. God activates our faith when we spend more time with him. Amen? When you spend time in intimacy with Father, praying, he activates your faith. Before you know it, you'll be speaking to mountains. Hallelujah. Before you know it, you're commanding the lame to walk, the blind to see, and anything else, because your faith, my faith, has been activated. Prayer stills storms, quiet storms. That's the next one. And moves mountain. Number three. Prayer quiets and stills and calms storms and basically moves prayer. This is something I drive. I'm getting it from Matthew, sort of from Mark's. Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and be thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. You know, when we pray, it's so easy, as I was saying. The soul and the spirit, they're like at battle sometimes. Okay? They're fighting against each other. This is where you and I need to basically command my spirit and my soul, or my soul and my spirit, you need to come into understanding. The doubt sometimes comes from our flesh. And then you need to say, Holy Spirit, there will be no doubt. When I pray for something, it will happen, and it will happen. That's what Jesus is saying there. Take away the doubt. Just pray and believe it is done. It is done in Jesus' name. Amen. Command the mountains to move. The mountains will move in Jesus' name. Put aside the doubt. Put your flesh, almost just put your flesh down and say, you know, flesh, be quiet. I want to agree with God who's saying today. I want to agree with the Spirit, what the Spirit is saying today. And we're going to move mountains. So that's what prayer does. When we believe in God, you know, kingdom connection, kingdom lifestyle is we're believing for the impossible to be possible. Amen. Amen? Prayer, the prayer of faith that always gets results are the kind we can pray because we have drawn close to His heart and heard Him talk about what He wants to do. It's about what God wants to do. It's not about what we want to do. It's about what is He saying to you today. What's Father telling you today? If He's saying you need to do something, get up, my brother. Get up, my sister. Go and do it. Father God, thank you. Next. Prayer keeps us connected to our divine destiny. Kingdom prayer lifestyle connects us to our divine destiny. Have you got a destiny here? I want to say, you want to get to your destiny? Get connected to Father God first. Get connected to the Lord Himself, and your destiny is at your reach. My destiny is at my reach if I'm going to get really rooted in prayer. Have that kingdom prayer lifestyle. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groaning that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. As you can see, Romans there. Prayer is not just a list of things, okay? Oh yes, my shopping list. I'm going to God this morning. I got my shopping list, Pastor. And I'm believing that God is going to provide for all these things on my list today. Yeah, I got eggs. That's one of the ingredients for the food I'm making today, man. So, you know, it's not about shopping list. It's not about shopping list. Prayer is the other way around. It's the sustained lifestyle of communion and interaction with God. Sustained. Okay? Can you hold it? Is it a lifestyle? Do you live it? Do I live it? Can people do your lifestyle, when people see you, is it part of you? Something that we are breeding. When I say breeding, I don't mean in an incubator. No. We are at Ely City Church. We are promoting prayer in our church. Amen. And I want to encourage you here, guys, at Abundant Life. Let prayer become the focus of this ministry, and you're going to see supernatural things happen. You know, it says. We're going to come to that in a minute. But, you know, there is God's answer is yes and amen. His answers are yes and amen. Sometimes we don't want God's yes, or we don't want God's answer. When He says no, we think He has not heard us. But He actually has. He has responded. It's just the answer that we didn't want to hear. We think God should be a yes man God. No, He's not just a yes man God. Sometimes He says no, because He knows that is not the time. That's not the place. When the right times, He will say yes, because He knows you can handle it. You got the muscles to carry what He's giving you today. And He's saying, yes, my son, yes, my brother, yes, my sister, you can have that now. And God will give it to you. So prayer is not it's a communion. It's a common union with God. Prayer Pray without ceasing, as you can see in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing, endless. This is what somebody says. Yes, I think it is on the next one. Our commission comes with our submission to God's primary mission. On earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Our commission comes with submission to God's primary mission. You know? Just easy like that. Work with God. He will take you to your final destiny. He will take you there. He will take me there. Don't worry. If you cannot get it, don't worry. Okay? But that's what we know. God wants us to, he wants to deliver us. He wants to take us to our destiny. He wants to take us to where he wants to take us. It's not about where we want to go. It's about where God wants us to go. It is so easily, Satan is so good at doing that. He's thinking, well, you know, that no, God doesn't want you to be there. Eve, did God tell you not to eat on that eat on that tree? Eve, really? Did he? And sometimes that's what Satan does, brings confusion. And before you know it, you're kind of doubting what God has told you to do. Silence, every other whispers of the enemy in prayer. Command those whispers to be silent in Jesus' name, so that my mind, my heart is listening to the voice of God. Prayer leads us to listen to the voice of the only one that we need to listen to. His name is Jesus Christ, and whatever he says, we want to listen to that. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God wants to take us. I was telling you about destiny. We all have destinies here. God has a divine destiny for each one of us. And he wants to take us to our destiny. I don't know about you. You don't know about me. But one thing I know for sure is I want to be with God all my life.
Amen.
And I will not accept, I will not allow, I will not agree to anything that is going to distract me from, from my mission.
Right.
From God's mission. Not my mission. This is God's mission. And sometimes it's so easy to get distracted. When that happens, command that to come into agreement and say, you know what? God's divine mission for me is yet in front of me. And I'm not going to get distracted. I'm going where God wants me to be. Co-mission comes with submission. Okay. Last, then we're going to pray. We're going to pray today. Amen. Tell your friends we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Amen. The last one says, prayer releases heaven's authority on earth. Amen. You know, at the beginning, I started talking about heaven connection. It's no longer about earth to heaven. It's now about heaven to earth. It's about heaven to earth. It's about knowing where your strength comes from. It is about knowing where your wisdom comes from. It is about knowing where your authority comes from. It's about knowing where your everything comes from. My everything is driven from heaven. Everything is directed from heaven. Everything that I do, everything that we do has to come. The source is heaven. And basically now we're saying is our prayer is heaven to earth prayer. May your will be done as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven to earth. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the winds and said to the waves, silence! Be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Jesus slept in the storm because the world he comes from, there is no storm. Can I say that again? Jesus slept through that storm because there is no storm where he dwells. The things that seems to be supernatural to us is natural to God. And so if we have this mindset that things that seems to be natural to us, seems to be supernatural to us, is natural to God, it basically changes your mindset. You say, you know what? Your prayer is as powerful as anything else. All you need to do, all I need to do, is to believe that my prayer is doing some business. My prayer is doing some destruction. And I'm going to see results when I pray. I'm going to see miracles happen when I pray. I'm going to see something happen when I pray, because I am praying and asking from the one who holds the biggest authority. From the one who holds everything in the palms of his hands. And because in him, what seems to be a miracle to us, to him it is not a miracle. It's his day way of going about things. Oh well, you know, yeah, I was just walking on the street and the blind man's eyes open. It's just normal to him. It's normal to God. It's normal. When he was, you know, I was just passing by and there was a lame man. I just said, hello, wake up, stand, walk. Normal. I was just going past, you know, and I saw, someone with leprosy on his, and I said, leprosy be gone, and it was gone. We serve a powerful God, amen? Amen. We serve a mighty God. And I want to just, you know, faith, prayer builds our faith. What seems impossible to you is possible to God. Right. You might have heard this over and over again. Maybe this morning, the Holy Spirit is saying, let's renew that what we've heard so that we can hear it again, so that your faith gets stronger. Amen. Amen. You know, we live in a society, particularly in the Western world, we are so intellectual, yeah? It's good to be intellectual, by the way. I'm not saying it is bad. When I moved to the UK, I was so amazed. Every household you go to, there's bookshelves everywhere. Bookshelves everywhere. I said, dude, do you guys read all these books? She said, yeah, maybe. I haven't read. Yeah, I bought that one. I just put it in the shelves there for decoration. It looks good on the bookshelf. Then I said, but I was amazed. You know, every house you go, there's a bookshelf. And then from my country, you know, you go in, there's barely a book, maybe one Bible. You know, you have to have a Bible in your house. That's just the way it is. Why am I saying that? We've become so much an intellectualized nation that we want to intellectualize every aspect of the Bible, and that just takes away the kind of the intimacy understanding of the Bible. Sometimes you need to put aside the intellectualism and just say, God, I want to have intimacy with you. Intimacy is far more better than you knowing everything about that scripture. Yes, it is important for you to understand everything, but actually you can just read it, go into a concordance and read it, go into another version and read it, but if it doesn't connect with your heart,
amen.
There is no point of just keep on reading. The Bible becomes just a novel that you just wait and just go through the pages and read. But let God, let the Holy Spirit turn those words to life.
Amen.
And those words begin to transform you inside out. Suddenly, my mind is renewed when I read scriptures like that. My faith is elevated. My faith is activated when scriptures jump out and they mean more to me. I'm not talking about scriptures today. But I want to talk about, you know, prayer activates you. Prayer activates me. It moves me. I just don't want to talk about prayer. I want us to do prayer. Church, this nation, England, is looking for churches that will rise up and pray. You know, I come from a nation, Uganda. You know, you probably all knew 86. Uganda was one of the, you know, dictatorship was at its height. As its highest. In the early 90s, churches rose up in Uganda. Churches began to pray. Prayer centers rose up. Cities, churches built up, you know, and churches just began to pray. Why? Because we wanted to see a transformation in the nation. We began to pray for peace in our nation because we hadn't seen one for some time. And I can stand here and testify and say, you know, we are now beginning to see the product of the prayer that started in Uganda. And you know what? Our communities are looking for churches that are going to stand in prayer and pray for our community. It's not just about the walls you're sitting here. It's about there.
Absolutely.
Let's pray our communities into kingdom. Pray them into the kingdom. Pray our neighbors into the kingdom. And when, you know, when you're praying, sometimes the Spirit, of course, will compel you and say, why don't you go and speak to that brother? Why don't you go and speak to that neighbor of yours? The Spirit leads. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me. So when you're in your process of prayer, the Spirit say, go and speak to so and so. And when you get there, you don't have to raise a voice, because of the way everything has already been done. It's been done in prayer. Just go and harvest. Go and fill your baskets. The harvest is ready. Through Jesus, we have authority over every kind of storms. It doesn't matter what storms you're going through. It doesn't matter what storms I'm going through. In Him, we can conquer all things. I want us to finish with one prayer. I got a prayer there. But we're going to say this prayer out loud together as we finish this morning. Please feel free if you want to join me in this. I want to invite you to stand. Why don't you stand as I just wrap this up? I just want to just pray. You know, it's entirely up to you. But I want us to pray this together. And if you're here, you know, you want to just maybe Pastor Vince and I, you know, to just, or anybody else, to just pray with you for anything, healing, whatever it is. I want to minister to you today. And it's entirely, well, just as this, is that okay, Pastor?
Yes.
Yeah? Praise the Lord. But I want us to pray this together. This is something that I feel God has put upon my heart. And feel free to join in if that's okay. All right, let's go. Okay? Lord, you bring me into a higher level of prayer. A place where I pray from victory, not for victory. Because of Jesus' blood, I have received victory. This is the reason I can pray confidently with expectation. Thank you for your word, which gives me examples of how to pray with faith and confidence. Just as the disciples prayed with faith and saw the miraculous happen, you have called me to do the same thing. I have the same faith they did. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and empowered the early church lives inside of me.
Amen.
Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Father, we give you honor. We give you praise, Lord, because you're a great God. And Father, you have called us into supernaturals, Lord Father, because in your kingdom, what seems supernatural is natural to you, Lord Father. Lord, I want to just pray right now. Anyone here just needs healing. I just want to pray right now. Because Father, I just want to release you. While we were praying this morning, so we were worshiping this early on, the Spirit of God just brought me in. I had a very sharp, sharp, piercing pain on my left eye. On my left eye, some piercing pain. And I believe somebody, you might be here, you're having this very piercing pain in your eye. And I believe God wants to heal you this morning, this afternoon. So if you're here, just, you know, we want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone here with piercing, with some sort of pain?